So I'm come this morning. I'm going to just read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, 35, verses 35 to 41, about Jesus calming the storm. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. So it's Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Today's reading is about a great storm that took place as the disciples were crossing the lake. Now, my wife and I have just been on holiday to Porthleven in Cornwall. And the one thing you want when you're on your two weeks summer holidays is for the weather to be great, don't you? You do not want bad weather. Really? You should read the visitor's book at the apartment in Porthleven. So disappointed. We did not have a storm. Missed the storms, unfortunately. Great to be here in the storms. And we weren't too disappointed. After 12 days of sunshine, we had a little storm. Why is that, you might ask? Well, Porthleven, and if Liz and Ian were here with us this morning, they would probably be realising what was going on. Porthleven is southwest facing, and the waves come in from the Atlantic. And the moment there is a storm, it is impressive. It is really impressive. You've only got to Google Porthleven storms and you will see pictures there. We went for a meal over to the other side of Cornwall, and we were talking to the waitress, and she said, where are you staying? We said Porthleven. Oh, she says, "I only go there when there's a great storm predicted." But actually, in our lives, we do not like great storms. We do not like the chaos in our lives. This account of Jesus with his disciples in the boat on the lake is the first of three accounts of Jesus overcoming the chaos that afflicts our world. In this account, we see the calming of nature, the chaos that nature can bring. In the second account, the chaos that the demonic world can bring to us. And then, of course, our greatest fear, death, and God overcoming death there, Jesus overcoming death. We live in fear of chaos in our lives. This first account shows us a great dramatic picture of the chaos of the sea and the waves which are likely to overwhelm the boat and break it to pieces, endangering all on board. But the power of Jesus, who is able to bring great peace. As Mark is writing his gospel, we must make note of why Mark is writing and the people to whom he's writing. Firstly, Mark's main point of his gospel is to show the recipients that Jesus is truly the Son of God. But not just that, but that he is also God the Son, that he is God with us, God in flesh. In the first two verses of his gospel, Mark tells us of the divinity of Jesus, but also his place in the Trinity of the Godhead. when he writes the gospel, he starts at the very beginning by stating his conclusion, that here is Jesus, the Son of God. It saves us the trouble of turning all the way to the back of Mark and finding what the conclusion is. He tells us the conclusion at the beginning, and then he goes to prove why he's come to that point. Mark's given us a few snapshots of Jesus showing his divine power, driving out over evil spirits, healing many, forgiving sins. And who can do that? Only God alone. Secondly, the background of Mark's letter. Mark is probably writing from Rome to Christians who are suffering under the persecution of Nero. It was written between about mid AD 50 and maybe as late as mid AD 60, probably a bit earlier, between AD 50 and AD 55. He's writing this, between AD 55 and AD 60, he's writing. There are hints to the people that he's writing to that are struggling under great persecution, that have great chaos in their life. Mark wants to encourage those Christians and to bring great hope to them. When you're suffering great persecution and in chaos, what do you want to hear? You want to hear that faith is genuine, that Jesus is who he says he is, that Jesus has the power over life and death, and that God does care. In life's storms, God's word counts. I don't know how many of you have, we don't have much opportunity to speak to people these days because we're all confined and socially isolated. But one of the questions that does rise is, in this coronavirus, does God care? Does God care? And it's a big question that comes up time and time again. And Mark is really implying in his account here that, yes, God does care. As we read this passage this morning, there are five recorded sentences of speech, and I've divided them into, I've given you five words that begin with P. The first one is, let us go across to the other side. And I've given the word providence. The second is, teacher, do you care that we are perishing? Panic. Peace, be still. The word power. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? I've got the word pacifier, or bringer of peace. Who then is this that even the wind and the wave obey him? Puzzlement. So we've got five words: providence, panic, power, pacifier, and puzzlement. You know, in the midst of storms, we tend to be weak and we tend to lose focus. We see the problem and we forget the words that God has spoken to us. It was evening when they set out. These men are experienced sailors. It's just a routine trip for them, just going over the side, the other side of the lake, about 10 miles. It would have taken them up or maybe 3 hours. That's all it would have taken, depending on the wind. But Galilee lies in the valley, and the winds can rush down very suddenly and cause serious storms. There is panic there. Notice that in the midst of all this, there's not just the disciples that are caught up in this storm. Mark records that interesting little note that there were other boats with them. Jesus didn't just calm the waters for his own disciples, but all around him, he would have brought peace. What impact does a people who truly believe in Jesus have to the benefit of others around them? It reminds us of the witness that we have in those storms of life. We come to it. The disciples here, it's part of their routine work. They're used to being on the, or most of the disciples are used to being on the Sea of Galilee. There were some disciples, for instance, Matthew the tax collector, who might be a little bit more frightened even than those fishermen that were there. But they are terrified for their lives, even the fishermen. And when you're on a boat in a storm, and the crew of the ship start to panic, then you realize that you really are in trouble. You really are in trouble. And they wake Jesus, teacher, don't you care if we are perishing? In the Greek, it says, Master, does it matter that if we are perishing? Literally, they are asking, God, do you care? They're asking Jesus, do you care? Now, it's interesting that it's only Mark who records their fear in this way. If, as we are saying, that the early recipients of his letter are those Christians who are dying in Rome under Nero, they might well be asking, God, do you care that we are perishing? And of course, what Mark is implying is, yes, Jesus does care that they are perishing. This is the great lie that Satan would have us all believe, that God does not care. We so easily buy into that lie at times, don't we, when things go out of control in our lives. But what does the Bible say? Cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will not let the righteous fall. Psalm 55, verse 22. You know, at times we want God to do things for us, but God wants us to trust him. Why did the disciples wake Jesus? Was it to hand him a bucket and say, Lord, start bailing quickly? Because Jesus, without any panic, without any ado, wakes up and just speaks to the storm. And here we see power, don't we? Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. An interesting word here in the Greek, that the word rebuke, it's exactly the same word that Jesus has used previously when he was talking to the evil spirits in Mark chapter 1 and verse 25. Peace be still. And it's a word that means to gag or to muzzle. You can just imagine that you put a muzzle on a dog to stop it from barking, to stop it from biting. And here it is, Jesus used the same word, that he muzzles the demons, but he muzzles the storm as well. There's supernatural power here in Christ to silence the forces of evil and chaos. Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. And again, we begin to Mark's picture that Jesus is God. He is the Son of God who has come to us. Who has problems? Who has storms and chaos in their life? It might be quicker to ask, who doesn't? Who doesn't? We all have tremendous storms in our lives and chaos, and we wonder at times, does God care? Does he know what's going on? Has he got a plan for our life? But there's something about this, isn't there? It's not telling us that we will not have storms in our lives. It's not telling us that our life is going to be easy. But what it is saying to us is that Jesus is there with us. Jesus is there with us. Even in the midst of the storm, I was reading a book recently about people that had been seriously persecuted. They basically had everything taken from them for their faith. And yet those people were happier and more content with the little they had than those that were actually persecuting them. They trusted in God in the midst of the storms in all their life. Even the disciples, they had missed the fact that God was with them there in the boat. I've used the word pacifier or a bringer of peace. So why are you so afraid? Do you still have so little faith? Asked Jesus to them. Now, Jesus is not only calming the raging storm that is going on around them that's threatening to come into the boat, but he's also calming the panic and the chaos in the disciples. What have they missed? First of all, they've missed what we've already mentioned, that Jesus is in the boat with them. Matthew Henry makes the point that this being the boat that Jesus had used for his preaching, and now for getting them across the lake, he says, but observe the fish, ship that Christ made his pulpit is taken under his special protection, and though in danger, cannot sink. What is used for Christ, he will take particular care of. But they were in the boat that Jesus had used, and it was not going to sink. They'd missed something else as well, and I'm going to leave that point to later. Any of those that are observant this morning will see that we've missed a P out at the very beginning. But there is puzzlement here, isn't there? Real puzzlement. The disciples are now terrified. In fact, they're more frightened now than they were when the storm was raging. In the Greek, it says, they feared a great fear. They feared a great fear. How often in the Bible, when people have seen the majesty and the beauty and the power of God, the raw power of God, has their reaction been to fall on their faces, to have great fear? A sense of enormous inadequacy as we realize our own sin and our own weakness. We've only got to think of people like Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel. Mark, if you read through the book of Mark, you'll find two reactions most often. One is amazement, the number of times that the people were amazed, but the other was sheer terror. The number of times that people in Mark's gospel saw the majesty and the power of Jesus, and their reaction was sheer terror. Who is he? Who is this Jesus? This is the most important question that we can ask in life, and the answer to it will have eternal consequences. Who is this Jesus? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Again, what is Mark doing? He's pointing to the fact that here we have God in flesh, God dwelling amongst us, who has come into the world to bring peace. But there's one thing that the disciples had missed, and it's right back at the beginning. It's that very first P that we looked at, providence. There's something about the word of God here that's even greater than just the wind and the waves obeying, the power of seeing in Jesus' words there. Why could Jesus say to them, why are you so afraid? Why do you still have so little faith? Mark has just stated, hasn't he, that Jesus' first words are, let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. Now, this is what we call the providential word of God speaking. What is providence? What is providence? Louis Berkhof states that providence is that continued exercise of the divine energy or God's energy, whereby the Creator preserves all his creatures, is operative in all that comes to pass in the world and directs all things to their appointed end. So it's God's word going out to achieve what he has sent it for. And Jesus has said, look, we're going to the other side of the lake. We're going over to the other side of the lake. The Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 11, speaks of God who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. Jesus has got in the boat. He's going to the other side. He settles down in the boat. He's comfortable. He's probably at the stern of the boat where it's probably the driest. And there may be a cushion there. And he's settled down and he's spark out. He's fast asleep. He's stacking Zeds. He's been working hard here. He's been teaching and he's preaching and healing. And he's worn out. We see here also, which we must never lose sight of, is also Jesus's humanity. Here is a man who has been working hard and he's tired. But he is at peace with himself, isn't he? The next time he wakes up, he's going to be at the other on the other side of the shore. Why? Because he has spoken. We're going to the other side. That is where we had gone. So why could he then say when he was woken by his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have so little faith? Despite all the difficulties that they were facing on that lake, they were going to get to the other side. They might have to have done a lot of bailing, a lot of getting the water out of the boat, but they were going to make it. There was no fear about that. This might have been the worst storm that they had ever encountered. But God had already said, we're going to the other side. You know, God's word, it goes out and it achieves what it has been sent out to achieve. Our reading this morning from Isaiah, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We consider those words in the context of evangelism most of the time, and we're not wrong. We're not wrong. God's word goes out in evangelism and it brings a harvest back in. But this applies also to every word that God speaks, the power of every word of God to accomplish what he is speaking. There was no way that boat was going to sink. Jesus has said that they were going to the other side, and when he awoke, they would be there. This is the providence of God working in our lives and in his word. He's spoken and it will happen. This is the reassurance to us, because we know that we can trust in God's word. When we're going through the storms of life, it is so important to remember what God has said to us. This is a wonderfully reassuring doctrine for those that love Jesus and are committed to him. I think it was J.I. Packer, I'm not quite sure on this, Rob will probably put me right, that said, to know that nothing happens in God's world apart from God's will may frighten the godless, but it stabilizes the saints. It stabilizes the saints. That in all that we happen, if we know that God is with us, that we are walking with him in his will, we may go through the greatest storms in life, but God has said greater things which will carry us through. I'm only going to mention one. Now we could go through the Bible. Being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. that if we have committed our life to Christ Jesus, that he will carry that on through to the very end. Our salvation is based on Christ. It isn't based on our feelings. It isn't based on where we are at a particular time. It is based on Christ. If we have truly repented and turned to Christ Jesus in faith, that he will complete what he has begun. But just to sum up, we have those five P's, don't we? Providence, the panic, the power, the pacifier, and the puzzlement of the disciples. What does it say to us this morning? First of all, that's the disciples' questions to the unbeliever. Who is this Jesus? It's the biggest question that we can ask in our life. And as I said, the answer to that question will have eternal consequences. Mark is telling us he is God, that he is with us, that he does care, that he cares so much that he died to save us, that he died for you and he died for me. As much as he brought peace to the Sea of Galilee, he wants to bring peace in our lives, peace between you and God, a calm conscience, and sins forgiven. But to Christians who are facing the storms this morning, is God perhaps challenging us this morning? That he does care. He does care. Even as we're going through these times when we're all separated, it's very isolating. We're really very quite lonely, aren't we, at times? Life is really difficult. If we are trying to, as sort of ministers, going out to visit people, we're having to think, how do we protect ourselves? How do we protect the people that we're going to? How do we comply with the government regulations? It takes twice as long to do anything at the moment. But God does care. Is he asking you at the moment, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Can we trust in Jesus this morning? If we are Christ's disciples, the storms of life may be tough. They may rage around us, but Jesus is the one that can bring peace in our lives. Storms of life will rage around us. And of course, one day we can look forward to the time when Jesus brings in his new kingdom and a kingdom of real peace this morning. This is our Savior. This is our God this morning. Jesus in the boat with us, who has said that he will complete what he has begun. Amen.
Let's pray as we close. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the knowledge of sins forgiven, for the knowledge of the presence that you have left with us by your Spirit, that the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will not leave us or forsake us. We thank you for the lesson of this account, this incident, where the Lord Jesus Christ, in a matter of moments, showed his full humanity and his full deity. We praise you for your providence in all things. And we thank you that we can have great peace in Christ because we know that your hand is on all things. And we thank you for the joy of knowing that your word and your promises, when they go forth, they are powerful and it will come to pass because you have spoken. Sovereign God, we thank you for all of your mercies to us and your grace to us in these things. And we would worship you with all that we are. So we pray as we have a time of fellowship together, that you would bless our time together And indeed, the rest of this day, your day, would be holy and sanctified to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.